the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 2, we were going to chapter 2 last time we met. You can turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy. It might be a little bit before I get there, but I should get that kind of quick. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll do a little reading in there in a minute. We probably will touch on Ephesians 4 a little bit tonight again. Y'all know I like to touch on that every class because I'm pounding that government. I'm pounding government. Government is one of the major things that we lost in the church. There's no government. So where there's no government, there's disorder. Even if we had no natural government right now, no governing laws, then people be doing all kinds of stuff, running red lights, speed limit wouldn't matter. People be robbing people. People be doing different things because there would be no judgment. And the only way that there is in that term is because of government. So now in the church, there should be government. Government was founded by God, the supernatural government. So I'm pounding that government, no matter what God is calling you to do in what capacity. You have to be in line, in submission, and lined up with government. Otherwise, God can't really use you. God can't really use a renegade. He can't do it. If you're not connected to someone or submitted to someone or connected in government in some way or another, God really can't use you because everything that's on the inside of you can't come out. Another thing about the government, we think control, we think, you know, authority, different things like that. Of course, you know, authority is fine. Without love, authority would be control. So love governs it all. Amen. But what happens is if you're not in authority, you're not under authority, you're not submitted to someone, you're not in government, you're not connected right, those gifts that are on the inside of you, you can't bring them out on your own. Think about this for a minute. You can't just, we've been trying to squeeze these gifts out, haven't we? You can't bring your gift out on your own. There's some iron sharpened iron that's going to bring some of them gifts out. There's some cutting that you're going to need for you to be able to bleed that gift out. That's the best way I can put it. We need that. And so there are some things, I know right now myself, you know, I know there's some things that will come out of me and some things that God has allowed me to do and allowed me to take part of that I would not have done if I had not been cut by my apostle. Now, it didn't feel good. Did I cry? Yes, I did. Did I get mad? Yes, I did. I'd be lying if I told you I didn't, all right? But it's not about that. My brother told me something a long time ago. He said, faithfulness has nothing to do with what you like. It's all about what needs to be done. Being faithful ain't about your feelings. And so government is going to bring those things out of you that God has planned. You know, a lot of times that apostolic leadership have been down that road, and they'll see that gift on the inside of you and be able to pull that thing up out. That's the goal of it, to pull it up out of you and cultivate that gift so where it can be everything God wants it to be. So government is important. I'm pounding government. Everybody say government. I say it over and over again, government, government, government. We've got to be lined up. We've got to understand government. When we leave out of here, the next class after y'all going to be learning government. It's going to be here till Jesus come. All right, thank God for lining us back up in spiritual government so we can be lined up so God can do what he wants to do from heaven to earth. Amen. We know this government has everything to do with that funnel. You know, God is trying to do the things that he used to do, the things that we read about, the stories that we ooh and ah about. God is trying to do that now in this time. But the reason there haven't been much move, the reason there haven't been much miracles, the reason people are dying early, the reason we don't see any miraculous things going on is because government hasn't been lined up. We got renegade preachers, we got churches on every other corner, and people are not submitted to anybody. And so now God can't send his power into a mess. God can't send his power somewhere where there's no order. Because for sure somebody going to die. For sure, some preacher going to kill somebody. I mean, if God sends his power in the fullness like that, something bad is going to happen. So it's got to be order. You hear me? It's got to be order. Government has to be in place. And so we've been talking about that, and we'll touch on that a little bit more in Ephesians 4. Chapter 2 we touched on. I'm going to just skim through a little bit about accurate mission, accurate vision. And it says when the church sets its mission accurately from the start and inception, the church must set its mission accurately from the start and inception. Without this feature, we will attract the wrong crowd and pursue the wrong people. All right, and we started talking about the Marines and different parts of the army, and different parts that they play. Understanding the assignment to lay hold of the mandate, I'm under here, I put your demographic. I don't believe there's no coincidence. So a lot of times where God placed you is where you should have been. I'm clear about that. Most churches can't find their niche assignment God has given them, so therefore they carry on other people's business. Y'all remember that? In the church, when they should be doing what God has called them to do. Once again, I touched on that last time. You think about what God has called you to do. All right, don't be all up in my lane. Get out of my lane. I'm driving fast. All right, you should be driving fast in your own. Get out your lane. Get out of everybody else's lane. Get in your lane. And find out what God, what's the mission, what's the vision God has called you to do, all right? If God called you to be there, he made you that way for a reason. All right, we all got our ways, amen. Now, we all got our ways, and we got our bad ones, but we got our good ones, amen. And I think God made us specifically like that. There's a gifting on the inside of everybody. And God made us specifically like that for a reason. Wouldn't life be boring if everybody was just like you? Yeah. You know, sometimes we'd be like, nah, I wish they was like me. No. Life would be terrible. I don't want everybody to be like me because, shoot, I be wanting to be different sometimes. You know what I'm saying? I want to see what God is saying to me. I want to change some things about myself. So everybody being the same thing, life would be boring. There would be no flavor, no color, no iron sharpened iron. It'd just be everybody walking. We don't know what direction we're walking in because we just be walking. Y'all see me? But there's flavor there. So you know, the way your attitude, the way your twang is and everything, it's okay as long as you line it up with love, right? As long as you line up with the love of God, amen, and keep it governed by that, it's fine. But God made you that way for a reason. So you got to walk your lane. I can't walk your lane. But if I'm walking my lane, let's change that. If you walk in your lane and I'm not walking my lane, then the body goes undone. You know, Ephesians 4 says every joint supplies. So that means that I need you. Listen, it's less about, you know, it's a lot of ego in church, and everybody wants to be the big honcho, and everybody wants to be the man. That's why a lot of people want a pastor and do different things, because they want somebody to submit to them. It ain't about all that. All right? It's about getting the will done, getting the mission done. And truth is, no matter what God has called me to do, my calling needs yours. And so now you have to be in place. It is imperative for the body that you be in place. It's imperative for the body that you walk in your lane. It's imperative that your mission is set accurately. Because if your mission is set inaccurately, it throws off the whole equilibrium of the body. Anybody ever had an ear infection before? You ever had an ear infection or earache before or something like that? Or a headache? You ever had a headache before, right? That throws your whole equilibrium off. It throws, just a little bitty ear and a little ear infection, but it throws your whole balance off. You can barely walk straight. You don't want to talk to nobody. Don't tell me nothing. Don't touch me. Leave me alone. Just a little bit of thing. But that's the same way it is with our visions and the missions that God has put on the inside of us. And if we don't line those up and cultivate those, then it throws the whole equilibrium off. Sometimes we think the part that we're playing is small and insignificant, but no, every part matters. That's why it says every joint supplies. Y'all see that? So you got to be in your lane. You got to be in your lane. Get out of them other people's lane. I'm on page 28. To insist that all churches become large organizations would be to violate kingdom agenda. Everybody ain't going to have no mega church, quote unquote. I don't even know what that is, quote unquote, mega church. The last line on that page 20, I'm trying to skim through this so we can get to where we're going. The last line on page 28 says, those who have built inaccurately will not choose the way that we are building. And understand when I say the way that we are building, he's speaking about this in his book, about his organization, but the same way we are building with the apostolic strategies and putting the gifts back in order, lining government back up. They won't choose to build that way because it'll cause them, and further in his next paragraph, it'll cause them to have to dismantle. It'll cause them to have to break down what they've built. But realize I say they've built. All right, what I read in the Apostolic Strategies book, and what really goes on, a lot of churches, a lot of people, a lot of church is a lot of people or preachers or different organizations trying to build their kingdom, trying to mark their territory, trying to make a name for themselves. Well, I remember God gave Abram his name. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham. He gave him a name. God gave Adam a name. Y'all get me? We see over in the Bible, he told them what to call Jesus. He gives the name, all right? So you don't have to go out trying to make a name for yourself because your name is already written, right? We know it, right? So So you don't have to go out trying to make a name. Let God be whatever he wants to be through you. All right. And so now it'll cause them, when we start talking government, now it's sometimes I can't be the big honcho no more. I don't care how big your church is. Nobody don't care about the big your church is. Nobody don't care how many members you got. A lot of times they be lying anyway. So they got 30,000 members. I've been to your church. Ain't no way you got 30,000. How your church see 150 people, but you got 8,000 members, and you only got two services on Sunday? You're lying. You ain't got to lie about it. It's an ego thing, y'all. Ego thing. We want to, how many members you got? Well, I got, no, say how many members you got. You really got 25 over there right now. But be faithful with what God got you doing. You see what I'm saying? I ain't got to pad these numbers. Y'all know when you go fishing, they go fishing. How big it was? It was that big. It was a little bit old fish. But it's just ego, 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 it's ego. So it'll cause them to dismantle all this stuff that they built to get what they wanted. What did they want? I wanted somebody to pat me on my back and validate me. I wanted somebody to tell me I was a powerful man of God. I don't need not one of y'all, nobody else to tell me nothing about my gifting. And I understand I was to a point where I felt like I wanted somebody to pat me on the back. I get it. I understand. If you're there, start letting the Lord work on you and break that down on you. So that you'll die to men and start living towards God. Start living to what God wants you to do. So it'll cause them to dismantle. Now, I can take you to ministries around the world right now. That you say, why apostle don't go preach to such? Oh, we didn't preach that. He didn't preach at that church and that church and that ministry. And they didn't call. Oh, yeah. You name them. You watch them on TV. They didn't all called here. But the problem is when they can't control what you are doing and they can't prostitute your anointing, then they act like you got the plague. And one of the other major problems, and listen to me well. One of the other major problems is why governments, and you connect to a good place, is why government is important. That's why I love Apostle and his ministry. I love everything that God is doing in him. He was saying something the other day, and I appreciate the decision that he made, even when he cut off from preaching in certain different places. I decided to, it's some big decision that he made, but I'm glad that he did because God was able to bring us here where we are. But what happens is this. People will see the anointing, and it'll be a rare anointing. And it'll be a, y'all know Apostle, it's a shake your foundation anointing. Like you can't, it'll rattle you. Some of the stuff that'll be said, some of the stuff, and some of the anointing that it'll shake you up and make you start questioning your whole, do I need to preach? Like it'll make you, y'all know how it is. It'll rattle your foundation, which it should. It should. The word of God should do that and shake you up a little bit to shake you up and get you right. All right. So it'll do that. And it'll come in and it'll start punching government. Now this was happening before he even accepted the call of apostle. It'll just come in and start smacking that government. And it'll start crushing those things that are man-made. And it starts crushing those fleshly agendas. But nobody wants that. Nobody wants to touch that. Don't touch my kingdom. Don't tear my kingdom down. And I definitely don't want my people to see the anointing on you. Because then they'll realize that the anointing wasn't there on Sunday. It was here on this Monday when he came and preached. Listen to me well. I done been through the church games and all that. I understand this stuff, all right? This is why we have to build properly. This is why you have to minister properly. This is why you have to be connected to government and let God push a sure anointing through you. Yes, sir. All right. So now they reject. It calls them. It's on page 29. It says they wouldn't want to accept this because it will cause them to have to dismantle. That means they got to break down. That means somebody got to bow down. That means somebody got to say you got it and I don't. Now we get excited because of these numbers. These numbers don't mean nothing. I'll take you to an arena and they'll pack. I've been to these meetings. They packed the arena out with 30,000 people and couldn't meet the budget. How does this happen? We go to another meeting. Apostle go to another meeting, got 50 people in the building and raise $100,000. That ain't regular. Y'all know it. Y'all been in church, haven't y'all? It is not regular. So now when this happens, if I can't prostitute that anointing and I can't control it, I definitely don't want it around because it's going to uproot all this stuff that I built to make me look good. Get over ego. It ain't about you. It ain't about how you feel. It ain't about nobody patting you on the back. It's easy. Let me tell you something. It's very easy to get egotistical when you got a little authority. And when people saying yes and amen and people falling out when you lay hands and different things going on, it's very easy to get on yourself. It's not about that. It's not about these numbers. Jesus said, I'll be lifted up. If I be lifted up from this earth, I'll draw men unto me. This is what it's about. So now they reject the apostolic flow. They won't accept the way that we're doing it because it'll cause you to break down. I've seen them come and go. I've seen them come and say, I want to join LTMA. And when you get in LTMA, you have to understand what's about to happen. Any LTMA members in here right now? You got a couple. Okay, so you already know what time this is. It's going to be some dismantling and some breaking down, and you're shutting down, telling you that ain't it. That ain't what you're supposed to be doing. It's government, though. Can't have your ministry on your sleeve. You know, your heart on your sleeve. Can't have your ministry on your sleeve and be feeling all touchy about it. Ain't nobody in this room been shut down more than me. I promise you that. All right, and I'm talking about like shut down in front of the church, online, in front of everybody, and it's on record so they can go back and watch it on the archive. That type of shutdown. But you take your licking and keep on kicking. Take your whooping. You know what? You need whooping sometimes. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't think I needed no whooping. Don't whoop me, mama. But truth is, I needed my tail toe sometimes. And I thank God for it now. I appreciate it now. You see what I'm saying? And so we got to catch these whoopings sometimes. So they won't accept the way that we're doing it because it causes dismantling. It causes you to break down. Now, for me, I've never been a person to now. I don't like to have to. Nobody wants to spend time building a thing and then realize that you got to break it. Now, you ever built something like a table? I put a desk together or something like that. It's nothing worse than having to put all that up and spend time reading the manual and doing all the different stuff. And then you'd have left something out that goes up in the middle of it that if you don't put it in there, the table will sit there and look like it's a right table. It'll sit there and look. And you can sit a little something light on there, but it don't hold the weight that it should. And it can't last as long as it should because that thing that was supposed to be in that foundation of that thing, you didn't put it. So now you got to dismantle and break down or save face because you feel like you didn't waste your time, but you need to do it right, right? Save face, and now you got the cabinet sitting in the corner, but can't nobody lean on it. Or it's made to hold some dishes, but you ain't got nothing in yours because you know it ain't going to hold it up. You see it? Defeating the purpose. Yeah. Defeating the purpose. Yeah. Defeating the whole original plan of why you bought it and why you're supposed to be building it and what it's supposed to do anyway. So it takes some dismantling. You build it wrong, you got to break it down. You know, I was talking about breaking that concrete up last time, remember?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you build it wrong, you pull the foundation wrong, you got to break it down and do it over. You can't try to build on top of it. No, it's just going to be more faulty mess. And so it'll cause, and this is why this is in the front, on the onset of ministry, you can set your mission accurately. Talk to God about it. And set your mission accurately. This is why government is important. This is why connection is important. This is why submission is important. So you can see, you can have a vision. You can have a vision before a vision. Are y'all with me? Do y'all hear me? I don't think y'all heard me. You can have a vision before a vision. You can have an example before you make your sample. Are y'all with me? So you got something to knock. It's like a rubber ball. You can throw your idea off of it. If it don't stick, then that means I got to go back to the drawing board. Do y'all see that? This is why government. This is why having connection is important. So on the onset, you can set your mission accurately, and you can set your vision accurately. You know, we can get friends back. We can make money back, but you don't get no time back. One thing you'll never get it back. Them seconds are gone, all right? Now, for me, I don't know how you feel about it, but for me, I don't like wasting nothing. I told the Lord, listen, I ain't scared of much. I ain't scared of a lot of stuff I ain't scared of. I don't walk around here scared. But one of the major things I always think about, I ain't going to say I'm fearful about it because I ain't going to pull no Job, but what I think about is I say, Lord, I don't want to be, I'm 31 right now, I don't want to be 32 and miss what you had for me when I was 31. I dare not to be 20 years down the road and been going the wrong way or building the wrong way. No, tell me now. Hit me with a sledgehammer right now. Yes, it's going to hurt. I get it. But I'm going to feel better in the morning. So building properly. So it caused them to dismantle. And I like to say the church machinery or monster. It's in the first paragraph on page 29. Says church machinery or monster has been created to rotate in a certain way. And its operation is to produce what they've always wanted as a church. This only comes into conflict when fresh revelation, we're just talking about that apostle, when fresh revelation of God pours in and God reveals his blueprints in scripture and through other apostolic ministries. So now God begins to reveal the true blueprint. And if it don't match up to the building that you got, that means you got to break it down. I dare not want my people to see that, though. I don't want my church to see that I've been building wrong. Ego. I don't want my people, my partners, to see that I've been building wrong. Well, if you've been building wrong, what, you going to keep on taking them down the wrong path? Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
I see this stuff in flesh. I see this stuff just live in front of my face. As long as they keep, watch this. Look at this next line. As long as they keep who?
People.
Who? Who they keeping?
The people.
The leadership and themselves away from the flow of these revelations, they can keep themselves in managing this machinery in. So they don't want you around. Can I tell y'all something? Can I give y'all a warning? All right, I definitely want y'all leave out whatever capacity of ministry that you be prepared for, whatever. Don't leave out of here with no fairy tale about church. Don't leave out of here with no fairy tale about ministry. Don't leave out here with no fairy tale about your favorite preachers. Okay, listen to me. Listen to me. Be prepared to stand alone if you need to. All right. Find you a good connection. Find you government and stick with your company. Listen to me. You don't have to be accepted by everybody. You understand me? Because what's going to happen is when this apostolic flow starts coming, I believe, you know, like Moses said, the Lord told Joshua, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I believe that's for us. I believe as the Lord is with apostles, he can be with us because we're connected. But watch this. Along with that, and along with that type of anointing, I believe we'll all catch on to it, amen? But along with that comes some persecution. I ain't talking about just people talking. I'm just talking about persecution. People trying to lock you out. They don't want you around. Why they don't invite me to the meeting? I don't need to go to your meeting. But I ain't thinking about your meeting. I told the Lord, my dad was telling me about some stuff the other day. I said, Lord, thank you, Jesus. There's some places I just never want to go again. There's some people, some circles I just never want to be in again. Thank the Lord for deliverance. You'd be surprised how many games, I got to go on this. I need y'all to see this. You'd be surprised how many games are being played. How many divas they got out there and how many devos they got out there. And they just, it's too much. Get over all that stuff. What about the word? What about what the word of God is saying right now? What about, forget all that, man. Nobody think about all that stuff, man. Nobody think about what you're doing, how you look. Let's get on this business. Because, you know, the clock is, Jesus is coming soon. Yeah. We got a job to do, and then, you know, we're going to answer. We're going to answer for what we've done and what we haven't done. And so we've got to be on it. And so it'll keep them managing this machinery in ignorance. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. And I know it says it's one version in the book, but we'll read the King James Version. Verse 3 through 4, y'all read it. Are y'all there? Ready, read. Hold on, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Ready, read. Verse 4. Y'all know that's not just in 2 Timothy. You know that's in 2013, right? Y'all know that's what we're living in right now, right? Y'all know when you hear a lot of that cackling and the hollering and they making a bunch of noise, and I ain't got no problem with nobody preaching, but if you ain't preaching no word, I can't hear what you're saying. I watch them day after day and they're yelling a bunch of poems, a bunch of acronyms, a bunch of cute little phrases that they didn't got out of some business book. Now, what about this word? What about this unadulterated word of God? What about the sound doctrine? Where is, I told my other class, if I ever, after you leave out of the school, if I ever go somewhere and you preaching, I heard about you preaching, I happen to be in the building and you preaching, and you hollering at these people and yelling, and you ain't got no word coming out, and the people don't know what to do after you leave, I'm going to stand up and say, I did not teach you that. Stop now. I give you my word. Y'all better hope I ain't. Look, if you won't yell, don't invite me. People got to know what to do. And it's built on, they will turn their ears. Now, this is Bible. It said the time has come. I'm going to say that now. The time has come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know, people have a problem enduring sound doctrine. People have become weak. The church people have become weak. So they can't endure sound doctrine. So they go to a nice I'm going to lotion you down doctrine, right? I'm gonna pat you on your back so you don't feel bad. We all got problems. No. What about their line? That, you know, a line is the only thing that tells you whether you left or right. Them lines on the road, the only thing tell you whether you're on the wrong side or the right side. Right. Borders, you look on the wall, the lines. Borders, the only thing that tells you what size room this is. Right. The border of the door, you would not, if there was no border, no lines, you would not tell that was a door from the wall. You couldn't tell the difference. Lines make up your outfits and your ties and the colors and shows you what a tie looks like in the shape of a tie. Those lines matter. So now this doctrine, the line upon line, precept upon precept, matters for your life. And so if people are not getting sound doctrine, what are they getting? Tickling ears, couple of stories, a few songs, then what? Entertainment, then what? So now it's watered down. So now we don't see the miracles happen like they should. But now we don't see people getting up out of wheelchairs like they should. Now we don't see God doing the miraculous things that he used to do because it's tickling ears and not sound doctrine. Do not leave out of here preaching an old tickling ear message. Do not do it. Find out what the sound doctrine is. Find out what the word of God is. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Thessalonians chapter 2. Preach my tie loose. Let's start off verse 9. It says, even him who is coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Verse 10, and all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth and that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall, listen to this, send them strong delusion that they should believe what? That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, it would be wrong for the people to be damned for us being damned. It would be wrong for the people to have to be damned because we did. The Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Right, right, right. We love that scripture. But then it says because the priests rejected knowledge. They cannot have sound doctrine if we do not give sound doctrine. We can't get sound doctrine unless we're connected to sound doctrine. You see why government is important.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So now I'm giving them over to delusion. They said, now, for this cause, 11, it says, for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. This is the same strong delusion. We'll talk about it one man in a minute. But the same strong, this guy had to send down and confuse their language. And them people was on one accord. And they were talking the same language and trying to build a ladder to heaven. God had to go ahead and confuse them. Because they was going to use the power in a wrong way.
Yeah.
Y'all see me?
Yes,
so for this cause, God sent them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now that reminds me of like in Romans when he said he give them over to a reprobate mind.
Yeah.
Reprobate is the worst place you can be. Because reprobate, you can see the line, but don't know which side to be on. I don't know. I couldn't imagine what it's like to be reprobate. I think maybe we've all been reprobated one time or another. I don't know. But I can't imagine what it's like to be in a state of being reprobate. To where you can't even see wrong. You looking at wrong and think it's right. You know, that puts you back in a place of being, you're a sinner now. You know, you're in a place of where you're not even taking part of your covenant. You're not even taking part of, now you're in a place where you don't know. Reprobate mind. Give them over to delusion so that they believe the lie. So that they all might be damned who believed not the truth. I put this on top of my paper. I said, Satan will always allow you to operate in inaccuracy. Satan will allow you. Listen, you can go start a ministry and blow up. Satan will allow you if you're not building it right. He will allow that. Why? Because he knows that you ain't going to really make no change, or you ain't going to really make no progress without the sound doctrine. So if you're doing it wrong, you're doing it the other way, cool. I'll let you do it. I'll let you build up. Go ahead. Ball out. Do what you, go ahead. Big church. You want to make a church? You can have that. You want to be a star? Go ahead. I'll make you a star. But the problem is, I put on my next page, it said God's living to delusions, and they become deceived. And James 1:22 said, be ye a doer of what? Doer of what? Doer, not doer of these actions. No, doer. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving who? Your own self. It's bad to lie to somebody else, but it's even worse to lie to yourself. Have you ever lied to yourself before? I have. It's terrible. It's a terrible thing to lie to yourself. Who are you? Like, lie to yourself. You're going to lie to yourself. Be a doer and not a hearer only, deceiving yourself. It said, God give them over to delusion. He said, I'm on the last line in the next page, page 30, right up under James 1:22. It says, God delivers them unto their own delusion and allows them to become deceived. At this last line, self-deception is the prelude to what? So now I put right under there, this is why so many ministers fall. Because they're deceived. They're living a lie. They're living a deception. They think that they're on because they look like they got stuff. Or they look like the ministry's growing. They think they're on, but there's no sound doctrine. And so any minute that the enemy wants to do something, he can knock them off the top of the hill. They fall. You see, well, there's a book that my dad gave me. It's called Why Great Men Fall. It's a great book for you to read. I don't know. I can't think of the guy, the author name. It's called Why Great Men Fall. And it's talking about why great men fall. It's simple, right? And what happens is, as long as you're building inaccurately, and you're building the wrong way, any man got no problem with that. Build it to the sky. Get all the members. Get everybody you want. Oh, you want an international ministry? Cool, I'll send you to all the countries. I'll let you go. I won't give you no demonic pressure, no hindrance. Everybody will be on your team. If everybody's on your team, you're not doing nothing for God. If everybody's always okay with what you're doing, and you never receive any resistance, you ain't preaching no sound. Sound doctrine, let me tell you what the sound doctrine does. Sound doctrine, see, like the doctrine of the cross. Sound doctrine is challenging. The cross stands up in front of you and say, what you gonna do? The doctrine stands up. It don't say, well, you know, no. It says, I read in the book one time, God don't be asking you what you want to do. There is no, you know, I got an option. No, you got no option. God said it, that's it. And so sound doctrine does this. Sound doctrine stands there without wavering. And it looks you in your eye. Huh? Looks you in your eye and tells you where you're wrong at. And tells you when you're on the wrong road. People don't like that sometimes. You know, nobody likes to be wrong. But you got to be okay with being corrected. So they fall. He'll let you build high to the sky. But the moment that you decide, I think it's true. The moment they decide, well, you know what? I've been building wrong. I'm going to get this right. Let me teach y'all something. You ever heard the statement? They say, dance with the one who brung you. That's an old school statement, boy. Dance with the one who brung you. Right? It's just dance with the one. You came here with him, so now you got to dance with him, all right? Watch it. What brings you somewhere is what's going to have to keep you there. If falsehood, false doctrine, deceit, lies, whatever it is, if you build on that and you get any momentum, that is the thing that's going. You know, they say you got to lie. You got to say a lie to cover a lie. And then you got to say a bigger lie to cover a bigger lie. And before you know it, you got so many lies, you don't know how many lies you got out there. Right. What brought you there is going to have to keep you there. All right, so who do you want to bring you now? That's a question. Don't answer me. I know we're going to say God. But hold on. Think about it for a minute. Who do you want to bring you? Dance with the one who brung you. All right, now listen to me. Whatever brings you, the rich young ruler. You remember the rich young ruler in the Bible? He came and said, Lord, what can I do to inherit eternal life? Remember? What can I do? He could run it. What can I do to inherit eternal life? He said, go. Yeah, y'all, did you observe the law? Have you done the things that's written? Have you done all that stuff? Cool. He said, yeah, I did it, Lord. I've been studying. I've been a student. Okay, cool. He said, go sell what you got. Give it to the poor. and come follow me. Now, this is a problem for him. He went away sad, and they're saying, so obviously no hundredfold, obviously no eternal life. Obviously, he missed the boat, all right? Probably could have been one of the disciples. Missed the boat. They ain't never say his name because his name didn't matter, all right? But the problem was, I said, they use it as a Pope message. You give all your stuff away. You ain't supposed to have nothing. That's stupid. The Bible talks about prosperity, all right? But the point is, you gotta study this word. The point is, Jesus knew that he had great possessions, and he had gotten them obviously otherwise than with Christ, because he was asking Christ about eternal life. He was asking Christ about, how do I live like you? So obviously whatever he got another way. You remember when he came and saw Zacchaeus? And when Zacchaeus' house got saved, what was the first thing Zacchaeus said? He said, I give everything I got to the poor. I give it all back. Because he understood what was going on. Who brought you got to keep you there. Yeah. All right? And so what happens is, if you build on faulty foundation or faulty doctrine, or you build on emotion, then you got to stay emotional. You can't change and be a teacher tomorrow, because now the moment that you change and try to be a teacher, you got to give it all up and rebuild from the bottom. Listen to me. I watch these entertainers. I watch these, I ain't calling nobody name, but I see these entertainers. They want to sing over here and do all this stuff over here, and then now they want to get born again, but they want to keep all this. No. You got to give something up, because you didn't get this. You didn't get this. And so they end up losing it. Yeah. I've seen comedians, they come over and start preaching. They won't preach now. You won't be a reverend now. You won't be all holy. You're not cussing no more, all right? You won't go back and try to do a comedy special. Nobody supported you. So now you go back to cussing. Because what got you there is going to have to keep you there. See, the reason can't nobody knock apostle off his top? Because God brought him there, and it's a solid foundation. And ain't nobody got nothing to say about it, because they can't do nothing about it. Because God, when God ordains a thing, it's building that house on a rock instead of that sand. Everything else other than God and the love of God and the sound doctrine is sand.
Yes, right.
And so now what brought you there, that's why you got to build properly. You got to set your mission accurately from the inception. Because if you build on anything else, that is the thing that's going to have to keep you there. And you're going to be in bondage for the rest of your life, and you'll never make a change in the world like God originally intended. Now, how much time you want to waste? Let's say you build for 10 years, and you get a little nice little hill, you know, a nice little mountain, but you built it the wrong way. You got a little thing, you looking out over the crowd, and you feeling fly, you feel like you own, you feel like you're anointed. How long you want you to build it? 10 years, and you realize you built it wrong, and now you want to change because you looked over to that mountain over there and saw that man on top of that mountain that's doing it like God really wants. But now that means you got to come down off your hill, leave your hill, and go and get going on that trail where that mountain was going. And people can't do it. So now it becomes a problem. And the enemy, they fall easy. They fall easy. You know why they fall easy? Because he got them like this. And so, now you got an epiphany. You got a revelation now. I need to change. I want to go submit to Dr. Thompson. And so you got a revelation now. I'm going to knock you off, because what you've been doing around that block, what you've been doing behind them doors, I knew it. I was just waiting for you to try to double cross me. The devil said, you're double crossing me. You're playing me, because we were together on this. We did this together. You knew and I knew. You were talking. You knew and I knew what was going on. Now you want to double cross me? All right, I'm going to rat on you then. Thus, you see how it all comes tumbling down. Y'all see me? Dance with the one who brung you. Y'all remember that? Dance. I'm surprised a lot of y'all know. Dance with the one who brung you. I know that brung and brought. I know it's supposed to be right in, but they say brung you. You know, that's how they were talking. So now you got to figure out who you're dancing with, who you rolling with, who are you going with, who you walking with, who you connected with, who you holding hands with. Y'all understand? Proper mission from the inception. Now, if you build properly, you know, ain't no such thing as overnight success. It's that foolishness. You ever heard of a one-hit wonder? Huh? That's exactly what they are, a one-hit wonder. One-hit wonders, if you just give you a little background to music, one-hit wonders are people that they pick up because they look good like they want them to look, and they know they can make some money, and they connect them to their machine, use them up, and then spit them back out. It's a one-hit wonder. All right? You don't want to be a one-hit wonder. All right? But it takes a little longer. When you build a career, it takes a little longer when you build the proper way. You know, you say, Leroy Thompson, where you come from? We've been out here preaching. Like, where you come from? We ain't know you was out. Next thing you know, when we see you, you're flying in a jet. Where you come from? You was like an overnight success. He said, it's the longest night you ever seen in your life. I started asking him. He had been preaching. Apostle had been preaching for about 25 years almost. About 15 to 25, well, 20, 25 years before God even gave him the revelation of money coming. Can you do that? So we want it all now. And because we see it now, we want it all now. So give me a revelation like that. You're not ready for that. You're not ready for no strong. I talked to the Lord the other day by myself. I was talking to him about me. And I realized there's some things that I'm doing now at this age that I could not do 5 years ago, but I swore I wanted to do it. I swore I was ready, but I wasn't. I couldn't do what I was doing right now back then. Why? Because it was a lot of time and a place, and there was training between then and now that brought me here, that I was able to do here. The same thing going forward. Preach 20, 25 years before God gave you the revelation of money coming. Would you have quit? Would you have given up? Would you say the Lord ain't using you? He says, Lord, I thought you was going to use me. I'm going to do it in Daryl. Lord, I thought you was going to use me. Just being honest with the Lord. But kept plowing because he loved God more than anything else. It wasn't about anything else but God. And so, Job said, though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. Though it may not look like things are supposed to be going as fast as we want to go because we in this McDonald's microwave society. We want everything overnight. American Idol. We want to sell all this stuff overnight. Overnight superstar. No. It takes a grind and it takes a work and it takes a discipline and it takes a diligence and it takes a consistency. It takes a commitment. All of these things mixed up. In that mix, I see that mixer going, that concrete, because they pull different things in there. But I see that mixer going, they put that water in there, they put that gravel in there, they put all that in there, they put that dirt, they get a little dirt in there. Now I see that mixer going, but all those things are mixing. Ain't nothing being poured yet, but it's mixing. And I see that mixer going, and now they done laid the ground. I see God preparing a way for you. You don't want to go down the road before he prepared a way for you. He laying it out, laying out the root ball, laying out everything, and he's still mixing you. You know, that mixing, that ain't that easy, boy. You in that mixing pot, you got to spin around. You might get a little dizzy. Might get a little slapped up against the wall every now and then. But he putting that stuff in you. He putting that stuff in you. But chill. Just chill and let it go. Let the mixer go. Let it take you. Let the mixer take you. And just chill because he putting that stuff in you. But, boy, when you start pouring that concrete and start laying that thing out, and that foundation, boy, you start pouring out. Just imagine if you were, I'm using my imagination now. Y'all work with me. Imagine if you were the concrete. They start pouring you out. You looking around while you floating, right? And you saying, like, I'm still going. And you thought, I'm still going. I don't even know how much he put in me. Because you don't look on the outside the barrel and see how much is in the barrel. You just in there getting spent. But then he start to pull you out and that foundation start going. And then it hardens up and becomes stable and becomes solid on sound doctrine. And then God begins to build on top of you. On this rock I built my church. Do y'all see that? So set the vision accurately. Chill out. Yes, sir. Stay in the mix. Yeah. Stay in the mix. Ain't no concrete ever got poured without being mixed. Y'all see them big trucks spinning? They're not spinning for looks. They're not spinning because they're trying to be a cool machine. No, that thing whole time while I spin, that thing mixed. Right now, just mix. Stay in the mix. Don't leave out the mix. Don't jump out the barrel too early. Don't get zealous and ambitious to where you miss the point. Because it's a few more things sometimes that need to be added. Maybe you ain't got enough gravel to hold on right now. And that's cool if I ain't got enough because I want you to put it in me, don't you? Don't you want God to put it in you if you ain't got what you need? God, I want, listen, he told Moses, actually he said, if you ain't going up there with me, don't send me up there. Exodus 33, he said, Lord, are you going with me? He said, because if you're not going with me, don't send me. I feel the same way. Don't send me out there half-cocked. I don't want to go to war without a gun. And then you send me, I don't want to go to war without a gun. I don't want to go to war with a gun without no bullets. Looking like I can shoot somebody. You can't shoot nobody. You ain't got no bullets. You ain't got the power. Stay in the mix. Set it accurately. I was supposed to get through this. Set it accurately. Sound doctrine. You can't lose. With sound doctrine. Now, sound doctrine is not the most exciting doctrine all the time. It's not the shouting, you know. Y'all know it, huh, church? Shouting. I done broke out in the sweat, ran around the church and fell out. We get that way sometimes. I get it. I like it better than all y'all. I love shouting. I love it when the Lord hit the church and we get to shout, amen. But he don't do that. Look, he confirms his words with the signs. Y'all get me? He pours out his spirit. He does what he does, the supernatural miracles are to confirm his word. So if you got a bunch of this miracle stuff going on every week, but ain't no word being preached, ain't nothing going on. All these revivals, they talking about they got miracles, but ain't nobody preaching the word. You just singing, and then you start laying hands on people every service. Now it's about to be some flesh. There's about to be some emotion. There's about to be some of you in there. There's going to be a demon somewhere in between there. The devil said you want to play with it, and you don't want to go. See, the enemy knows. Watch this. The enemy knows what sound doctrine can do. Sound doctors would have whooped him that time when he took Jesus up on that mountain. And he said, well, yeah, if you cast yourself down, you wouldn't dash your foot, right? But why don't you just bow down on me? And Jesus was hitting him with that sound doctrine. You go read that in the gospel. Jesus was knocking him out. See, the devil was trying to tempt him and try to find out who he was. He didn't know Jesus was the Messiah. Y'all knew that, right? He didn't know who he was. He was trying to find out. Because they said that had he known, he'd have never crucified him. He'd have never let him crucify. So he tempted him. And Jesus was pounding him with that sound doctrine. You say one thing. And the devil sound kind of smart, didn't he? He threw a couple scriptures out there, said that word. Jesus started hitting him with that sound doctrine. So the devil know how that sound doctrine feel. He know what that sound doctrine do to it. It bruises his head. He know what that sound doctrine does. So if I can get you to not be on that and get you to feel like you own without the sound doctrine, then I can fool you. The only thing the enemy got is lies and deception. He takes your power and uses your own power against you. So your gun that's supposed to be shooting, the principality, he takes that and does like this and make you shoot yourself in your own head. But no, he only shoots yourself in the head because he don't want you to drop there, so he shoots yourself in your knees so you can't walk. He damaged you a little bit with your gun, though, with your power. The devil ain't got no anointing. He got no access to the Holy Ghost. He don't have no sound doctrine. So the only way that you can be taken down is if you release your power to him. If you allow him to use you against you. That's why the Bible says death and life are in the power of your tongue. Your death and your life are in the power of your tongue. If he gets you, I always say this, my daddy taught me this, he said, negative thing happened, pain hit your body, something happened, and you start thinking these crazy thoughts, I tell her, I bet you can't get me to say it. I bet you won't get me to talk foolish. And then I start saying what the word of God says about whatever it is that I had going on in my mind. Because I know that death and life. And I refuse to let him use my power. I refuse to let him use what God has given me against me. Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Solid doctrine. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. This is the word. The sound doctrine is the thing that's going to build. Your ministry will be built on the sound doctrine. Your ministry will be built on them same words. Jesus said, let there be light, and there was. That's how your ministry is going to be built. Sound doctrine. Now get off the other stuff. Everything that ain't sound doctrine is a lie. What the word of God say about it? I don't need the church strategies. I don't want them. Your strategies about, you know, your strategies, membership and all that, gathering, I don't need all that. I don't want your strategies. What? All right, cool. I hear you what you're saying. You got a strategy? All right, cool. So what the word say about this? Where's, or not in there? All right, cool, you keep it. That's how we got to be in ministry. I'm not excited about none of that. I'm not excited about nothing nobody doing. I don't care about your big ministry and your festival. I don't care about none of that. I'm just telling y'all from, I've been there. It ain't so. I've been there and left, and I still got to go talk to God for me.